is coming. Between light and darkness. Will you bow down to the darkness? Or will you fight?
Questions in your eyes. I know what's weighing on your mind, but you can be sure I know my part. 'Cause I'll stand beside you through the years. You'll only cry those hands.
Does this country remind you of the America that you grew up in? Do your children enjoy the same freedoms that you did when you were young?
But you think that you can take me on? You must be crazy. There ain't a single thing you've done that's gonna faze me.
Just how far are you willing to be pushed? When are we gonna put our collective foot down and tell the tyrant, get off of my back?
I just wanna let you know. Yeah, get off of my back and into my game. Get out of my way and out of my brain. Get out of my face and get your best shot.
Hi, I'm Cope Reynolds. And if you're tired of the same old sugar-coated mush-mouth monologue of talk radio, join me for The Shooting Bench. Guns, self-defense, survival, current events are just a few of the topics that we'll discuss on The Shooting Bench. And we're going to start discussing them right now.
Have you forgotten?
Alrighty, there we are. I was working on my deal for Chat and Go here and missed my cue. Let's see what's going on in the chat room real quick before we get going. I wasn't looking at the chat room. I was looking at getting my account squared away for Chat and Go. So let's see if I managed to get that done. Yep, okay. I got it. Alright, here we go. One more click. There it is. Okay. Hey, Desert Rat joined us tonight. Good deal. Glad to see you. Who all we got there? AZ Bound, good to see you. And Tinker and Doc and Minnie. NM Glock, Northwest Heavy. B Lady in there again. Good to see you too. Good to see all of you as far as that goes. Yakima Glock. Tebow. One Anonymous there. Look like Nan's made it in yet. She'll probably be along in a little bit. All right. Let's, welcome to the Shooting Bench, by the way. It's the 19th of September. And it's a Wednesday. Got a lot of things we need to try to get covered here in a short amount of time. And some of them are just absolutely crazy. Man, unbelievable. We've got AZ Bound texted me today and said we had a guy there that was quite a problem child with keeping the finger off the trigger, and I was constantly on him. AZ Bound said today, he said, all I hear today, I just keep hearing up my mind, get your finger off the trigger, Dwayne.
I only said it like, I don't know, 4,000 times in 3 days or something like that. So, anyway, a lot of fun. Let's move on here. We don't have any particular thing to follow. We've got a lot of different stories here. And this is a Fox 10 news story. And it's pretty disappointing that we have come to this as a society. It's pretty weird that we're doing this. We've become so what's the word I'm looking for? Such a habit, such an addiction with some of these video games and stuff. They take them so seriously, and it just I can't even believe some of the money that they spend and the things that they do. Well, here's a guy in Long Island was arrested for threatening to shoot an 11-year-old kid that beat him in an online video game. The game's called Fortnite, and apparently this guy got beat and didn't like it and threatened to shoot this kid. He said the boy started receiving threatening text messages and online voice messages and via an Xbox from a man he'd recently beat during a game of Fortnite. In the messages, which were sent at approximately 9 p.m. on September 17th, the man threatened to shoot the child, possibly at his school. Officers arrested him at approximately 1:40 a.m., charged him with aggravated harassment, second degree, and acting in a manner to injure a child. That was, there's a little bit more to the story, but nothing significant there. It's crazy to me that something like this would happen. But, I don't know, I don't have anything else to say about that. It's just nuts. All right, let's just take them down the line here. This one, I don't think we talked about this. Talked about it on Facebook a little bit, about a Chicago man that was shot in the chest and was too drunk to realize it. Didn't seek treatment until the next day. 19-year-old guy shot in the chest. Now, I can see being too drunk and not seeking treatment till the next day, or not seeking treatment next day because he was too drunk. I can see that. But it's not unusual and it's not sensational that someone would be shot in the chest or the stomach or anywhere else and not realize it immediately. The majority of gunshots go numb immediately, and people don't even realize it. There are stories of quite a number of stories, actually, where someone has actually died, bled out and died and not known it, because they were, you know, busy doing other things or were damaged internally, you know, spleen or something like that, and died. They bled out, but inside, you know, not a big puddle of blood or a big stream of blood running down their leg or something. It was internal injuries, and that happens fairly frequently. It's not unusual. So this story is a little bit sensationalized just by saying the Chicago man hit in the chest by a bullet, was too drunk to realize it. You know, that's not an unusual thing. It may be unusual that he didn't seek treatment until the next day. I mean, you would think that he was shot in the chest, he would may have gone home and passed out with his shirt on, didn't take it off and realize there was a hole in it and a little blood on it and stuff, but anyway, said he finally sought treatment at the hospital. They've not released information on his condition, nor the suspect that shot him. That's really the whole story there. Let's see here. Oh, Nan did make it, finally. Glad to see you in there. Let's see. Let me back up here. Looks like we've got a few things going on in the chat room. Let me check and see. Yeah, we wondered where you were at, Doc, on Monday. Sorry you were not feeling good. Let's see. All right. There was a... evidently, Doc, you're not taking your silver, huh? Is that what I'm hearing? That you had a bacterial infection? Well, there are cures for that. Or prevention, preventatives, I guess, for that. Alright, let's move to the next one here. This Nike thing continues to go. Here's this one doesn't amount to much, but a pastor in Alabama, during a sermon, took some of his Nike gear and cut it up right up on the stand while he's preaching his sermon there. He said his congregation was cheering. First pair of jogging shoes I ever wore were Nike jogging shoes. That was in the early 80s. Been wearing Nikes ever since. I got news for you. I bought my last pair of Nike shoes, he said. He said, I ain't using that no more. And he cut it up with his pocket and a pocket knife, I guess. No, scissors. But anyway. It's kind of calmed down. I haven't heard a whole lot more about that, with the exception of this story. I haven't heard too much more going on. So we'll see. Let's see what happens here over the next little while. There's a couple of things going on in the NRA here that I don't see what the... I understand that they... they, meaning the liberals, will always grasp at straws, pull anything they can out, and turn it around and do something with it that appears to be racist or unsafe or, you know, whatever, something that would look bad on about guns, make guns look bad. So one of them was that the NRA spokesperson here was, I think that is, that's Dana Loesch. She said that the guy that, remember the cop shot here a week or so ago, walked in the wrong apartment and shot him. We talked about that quite a bit. Well, she says the guy might be alive if he'd been a gun owner. And right away, some guy on Facebook put on there, the NRA wants you to shoot cops. How do you get that out of there? What it means is if he'd had a weapon and was alert and aware and answered the door with it and realized all this was going on and shot the cop, under the circumstances that we hear on the news, he probably would have gotten away with it. It's not the first time someone shot a cop in self-defense and got away with it. Everybody was saying, yeah, if that would have happened to him, if he'd shot her, you know, he'd went to jail. Yeah. If what we hear in the news is halfway factual, then no, probably he wouldn't have gone to jail. Probably he would have gotten away with it. I say gotten away with it. He didn't get away with anything. He was, you know, he would have been defending his life. That's not something you, quote unquote, get away with. It's something that is justified. And but right away they said, you know, NRA wants you to shoot cops. Well, all she did, and she stated it pretty clearly. It wasn't anything, I didn't see how they twisted it around to do that. I know they're very professional at that. They do that. That's their thing. That's what they do. But it says that, let's see. No, this just goes on with the same story here. That we've already talked about. But it says this could have been very different if the guy in the final, I don't know how to pronounce his name, it looks like Botham or Botham or something. I don't know if that's Jean or Jean or whatever. Anyway, if he'd been, say, if he was a law-abiding gun owner and he saw somebody coming into his apartment, and then she questioned how the shooting even happened. One of the other things that seemed kind of extraordinary to me, Ms. Dana Loesch said this, when you go into someone's house, things smell different, right? I mean, granted, the lights are off. It's still going to look, kind of look different. It's going to feel different. It's going to smell different. And that's a good point. When you walk into someone else's house, even if it looks the same, it shouldn't take too long to realize, unless she had something else going on that kept her from realizing it, or she did realize it and didn't care. But there's different stuff, different people, different furniture, usually different everything. The guy here, Jeff Houston, also with the NRA, said after 15 hours of hard work, one should not be in such a state of discoherence that you're walking in and not knowing that you're in your own place. So there's just some real strange, something strange going on here. Not happy with this. Obviously, a guy is dead that did not need to be. Loesch has been known to blame unarmed victims of gun violence for what happens to them. Well, so have I. I don't know if blaming them is the exact correct word or correct phrase. I don't blame you because you were not prepared and were shot, but I can say, you know, you would have had a better chance had you been armed and trained prepared for what happened. And unfortunately, most people are not. I'm sorry. It's just, you know, if you look at the numbers, vastly, overwhelmingly, way far and away, more people are not prepared and don't care, don't want to be, than those that are. You know, it's a good example of that is this class we just did in Colorado. As hard as we tried to develop, you know, instill, to plant a seed for that mindset, there's still a couple of guys there that just did not accept it. They just didn't get it and acted like they didn't want to. It was still, I don't think it's because they didn't want to. It just never did quite hit home with them. You know, what they were doing instead of, you know, some of the stuff was pretty dynamic and doing some moving and stuff. And instead of saying, you know, that's a good skill to know or something, they said, oh, that was fun. That was cool. It was still recreation to them. And unfortunately, I hate to say this. I just don't think they got their money's worth out of it. I mean, the training was there. They got their money's worth as far as the quality and amount of training, just like anyone else, but I don't think it hit home with them like I wanted it to. The other six out of there, I think, understood it pretty well and got the full benefit out of it. But hopefully we'll go back up there again, and I really hope those two guys will do this again. And maybe over the course of the next few months before I make it back up there, they'll have an epiphany one day and say, oh, now I get it. And I hope that it's not because of, I hope one of them doesn't get shot, or one of them's family, you know, they're not robbed or something, and we're not as prepared as they could have been had they, put their heart into it a little more. And it's unfortunate that there's just so many people, particularly men. I mean, women get it. There was a woman out there this last time. She got it, absolutely got it, completely. But it's traditionally, it is the man's role. Now, I'm not saying a woman shouldn't do it. Don't even start that crap. I know my wife is well trained, well armed, and it very well may have saved her life on Valentine's Day of 2012. You guys have heard the story. But traditionally, it's the man's place to, you know, protect the family and all that. And it just seems to me that a man that does this kind of stuff and that takes this class would naturally have a little stronger interest in it. And sometimes we just, once in a while, we just come across people that are not quite prepared to go that route. So it's kind of odd to me sometimes. But anyway, let's see. What are we looking at here? The mountain shooter, yeah, good point. You'd be at least you'd be a live cop killer, but I don't think the people that I have researched and the few people that we've come across that have killed cops or shot cops and not gone to jail for, were not labeled as cop killers. It was obviously self-defense, and there was no, not to say that, somebody in that particular cop's department didn't say that. I'm not saying nobody said it, but in the news and in the label, as you say, wasn't an issue. it was very clear that they were within their rights and there was no problem. Now, there are also a few that were more questionable and under different circumstances, and they didn't get away with it. And that's okay, too, because they're, you know, no matter who you shoot, you need to be justified in it. And sometimes people are a little bit too quick on the draw, so to speak, and haven't thought this out. And a lot of this comes from little or no or poor training. People don't just automatically know this stuff. And it's a little bit difficult to get good quality training complete with constructive criticism out of a magazine or off of a YouTube video or whatever. And most of the people out here this last weekend got that. They understood that. There is some benefit to having somebody around that can correct problems. Finger off the trigger, Dwayne. You know, you don't hear that in a YouTube video. They can tell you that, but there's nobody there to watch. Now, once you've learned, once you've been trained, and you learn the basics pretty well, yeah, there's some benefit to going to some of these, you know, looking at some of these YouTube videos. There's a lot of stuff out there. A lot of good training, but it's not going to benefit you until you have some of the basics down. Finger off the trigger, Dwayne. Once you get those basics down there, then some of those videos can help you out. There's no doubt about it. And you can pick up things in magazines and other publications that would help you out.
Anyway, that's enough of that. Let's move on here. You guys remember the guy, some of you may be too young to remember, AZ Bound, I don't remember if you remember this or not. It was a big deal back, when was it? Early 90s? When the guy, what was his name, Tommy Robinson, remember the guy in England that shot after everybody was supposed to turn their guns in? He had kept one for self-defense and actually had wound up using the gun, shotgun, and shot a guy. I'm not sure, I don't remember if he killed him or not, but I think he shot two of them maybe, and went to jail for quite a while. And I think he did eventually get out. And now, his wife has been told, after his wife was threatened with an acid attack, police are warning her not to break the law if you're attacked. She said, the cop said, "You may be a victim of a serious crime. I must warn you that this does not entitle you to break the law." You have got to be kidding me right now. "I must warn you that this does not entitle you to break the law." Normal places, you know, in here in America, the law changes a little bit. At the point that you are being attacked, a different law goes into place. Not only is it God's law, natural law, that you protect yourself, but the actual written law becomes slightly different. Some of the stuff that you ordinarily would be breaking the law, maybe it would be discharging a firearm in the city limits or killing people or something like that, would be against the law any other time. When it comes to protecting your life or the life of your family, those laws change a little bit. So in this cop's mind, there was no difference in that. In this cop's mind, and maybe in England's law, period, there's no exception for self-defense just because you may be a victim of a serious crime does not give you the right to, let me rephrase that for him. You may be the victim of a serious crime, but you... I had it in my mind how I was going to rephrase this, and I forgot. I must warn you, this does not entitle you to break the law. I must warn you. Dang it, I should have said it right when I had it on the tip of my tongue. Now I can't remember. Anyway, it doesn't entitle you to break the law. What would be a different way to put that? The law does not entitle you to defend yourself, maybe? Something like that. This happened just a couple of months ago, 1st of July. I had received information that a person had made threats to throw acid in her face. Based on the information the Bedfordshire police have been provided, I must inform you that you may be a victim of a serious crime. I must advise you to take appropriate measures to ensure your safety, but warn you that this does not entitle you to break the law. According to Robinson, let's see, the police personally delivered the letter detailing what to do when you're attacked with acid while he was in prison earlier this year. 3 days later, police delivered the same letter to his mother. Her mother, I guess. Anyway, hard to believe. looking at the chat room here real quick. You know, I think AZ Bound Dwayne did have a hard time keeping things straight, but I think he wanted to. But, you know, like you said, he had a lot on his mind, a lot of stuff going on. It was hard for him to
do what we had hoped that he would do.
Doc, actually that was not the case, but I'll let AZ Bound tell you what all happened there. Okay, let's move on. Airlines here. Airline passenger advocacy group. Why do we have an airline passenger advocacy group? Anyway, they're calling for a ban on ammunition in checked baggage.
This could get to be a problem if they manage to get this. This is going to be an issue. It means that if they don't have it in checked baggage, I wonder if they'll let you ship it by air, period, even if you're not, you know, not in a passenger plane, but let's say by UPS air. It may get to a point where if you want to go hunting in Alaska, you're going to have to make sure that you have a caliber that is available on the shelves in the stores up there, because you won't be able to ship it, period. If they're able to get this done, this could be very, very detrimental to hunters and sports shooters and
people that travel to shoot and everything. So, all right, well, I think what we'll do right now is take a little break.
I'll be back.
Don't know when I've been so blue. Don't know what come over you. You found someone. And don't it make my brown eyes blue? cry all night long. Say it is untrue, and don't it make my brown eyes blue. Tell me no secrets, tell me some lies. Give me no reasons, give me alibis. And don't let me cry. Say anything, but don't say goodbye. I didn't mean to treat you bad. Didn't know just what I had. But honey, now I
back to another segment of the Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network.
That ain't country. That ain't country.
Okay, and we made it back here. Let's see where we're at in our lineup here. Here's a good one, and Mountain Shooter may have already heard about this. Maybe all of you heard about it, I don't know. But California has issued a cease and desist order here to the NRA and told them to quit selling their insurance policy. You know, every member of the NRA has a certain amount of insurance, and you can buy more. You know, you get your instructor insurance and all that stuff. There's lots of different types of insurance that you can get through the NRA. But the State Department of Insurance on this last Tuesday, a week ago, issued a cease and desist order saying the NRA sold an unlicensed insurance product in the state. This refers to self-defense insurance policy included in the NRA's Carry Guard membership program. The policy covers some legal costs from criminal cases or lawsuits that arise when a gun is used for self-defense, recreation hunting, or when a weapon fires accidentally. About 2,400 Californians are policyholders. The order carries a potential fine if they don't cease and desist of $5,000 a day. The NRA can request a review of the orders, and messages to the NRA for comment were not immediately returned. So I'm anxious to see what they've got to say about this when they are immediately returned. Or if they're ever returned. Kind of interesting. This has nothing to do with guns, has nothing to do with self-defense. So this is kind of a common sense thing. And apparently that is woefully lacking in many circles.
Thug Mountain Shooter shot some of those. Did you have an opportunity to shoot some of the ones that were that CMP put out there? I figure, yeah, I suppose the rat grade probably would be the ones that are fairly worn out. They, by the time they took them out of service, when they put the Beretta 92s in there, they had been built and rebuilt and patched and put together so many times that a lot of them were having a tough time staying together. There's Doc says a lot of underappreciated pistol designs out there. You know, and I couldn't agree with you more, Doc. I really do understand that. The Astro, yeah, we had several Astros when I had the shop in Farmington and everything. There's a lot of decent pistols out there. A lot of them that people, but it's like I told people in Colorado the other day, my mind is shut. It's not that I don't mind shooting other guns once in a while. I'm not going to put a single dime into anything other than a Glock. I just lost all desire for anything else. I mean, I still like different rim fires, and you know, I'll shoot a revolver once in a while or something. And I'll shoot anybody else's gun that you want me to shoot. But I ain't going to buy one. I'm done. Anyway. Yeah, A&M Glock, unfortunately, that's about the best way to do it is go through Lloyd's of London, no doubt about it. But, Doc, if we could get enough people together, that'd be a long old trip down to Mississippi, but I'd sure love to come down there and do a class. That would be fun if we could get enough people together to do it. Mountain Shooter, when the slides rattled on those 1911s, they usually worked pretty good. It's when they quit rattling that they become less reliable, as I found out. Yeah, the old ones that made noise sounded like jingle bells when you yanked them out of the holster. They did pretty well. Thank you, Yakima Glock, man after my own heart. Yeah, you got it, brother. Yeah. Why would I settle for decent when I could shoot Glock perfection? There you have it. That's it in a nutshell right there. Anyway, let's get back to this story. Common sense thing here. Science has discovered, now that should tell you right there that something different about this story. Science discovers that dogs can sense bad people. Really? Does your dog act differently towards different types of people? Better yet, does your dog seem to dislike folks that you're not a fan of either? Well, maybe that's because your dog can sense when someone is a bad person. Haven't we pretty well had that figured out since about the year 860 BC or something like that, somewhere along those lines? Science has just confirmed that dogs can discern a good person from a not-so-good person. Science tells us that dogs can actually sense when someone isn't kind, even when that person isn't unkind to them specifically. Pretty incredible, huh? No, pretty not. Many argue that cats are more discerning than dogs, and that dogs pretty much like everyone, but this study says that simply isn't true. You know what? I don't know how much they spent on this study, but they could have sent me 25% of that, and I'd have told them the same damn thing. According to a study by Neuroscience and Biobehavioral Reviews, dogs can differentiate a good person from a not-so-good person. During the experiment, the dog owners were given a container that was difficult to open. The dog owners then turned to a researcher for assistance.
The researchers either, one, helped the dog owner, two, stood there passively, or three, refused to help altogether. Then all the researchers offered the dogs a treat. The dogs were much more likely to take a treat from a helpful or passive researcher, but ignored the ones who refused to help their owners. I'm not sure what the difference is between stood there passively or refused to help altogether. The study clearly illustrated that dogs do not always act out of self-interest. The researcher who refused to help open the container showed no ill will towards the dog itself. The dogs, however, sensed that the researcher was being unkind to their owner and wanted nothing to do with him. Well, there you have it. That's a... Let's see. Yeah, doctors, and I think I've said this before, I don't mind Taurus. I've had pretty good luck. The older Tauruses, before they took over that Smith & Wesson factory or bought it or whatever they did with it, they were a little rough, and I didn't care for them back in, that would have been the mid-80s. It wasn't too long after that, sometime in the 90s, when they really turned things around, and actually Taurus was the first company in the history of firearms to offer a full lifetime warranty. And I've had good luck with the very few that I've had. I've shot a lot of them in different classes and stuff. And I've still got that little 2-inch model 85, and that has been a dynamite little gun. Jeez, I've shot that thing a lot. I haven't shot it for quite a while, but, man, I really put that thing through the ringer there when I first got it. For months, I really tried to wear it out, but... let's see. M. Glock, yeah, I suspect that's probably true. Yeah. All right, let's see here. Yeah, I know I'm running. This next story. I know this was all over Facebook, and most of you already heard it, but... There is a professor out of Las Vegas, longtime College of Southern Nevada sociology professor. How do you get to be a professor and be a complete retard? Do they have retardation classes of some kind? I don't know. But this guy was protesting my president and shot himself in the arm with a .22. He actually walked out in the hall and passed out, or fell down, anyway. He's facing felony charges now in connection with this. It was about 8:30 in the morning. Campus police found a man inside a restroom on the Charleston campus suffering from what appeared to be a self-inflicted, they're not going to let me have all of this because it keeps blocking me because I have an ad blocker on here. And if I can't see the ads, they don't want me to read the story. And I'm not going to cancel my ad blocker, so there you go. Anyway, they said when I read the story, they said he walked out and eventually had fell over. Whether he passed out or not, I don't know. But shot himself with a .22 and got charged with a felony. Alrighty then. You know, I've heard people going on hunger strikes and doing all this stuff. If you think for 1 minute, for 1 second, that I care if you starve yourself to death because of your assumption you believe in, you are sadly so terribly mistaken. I will let you starve. If you're that stupid, you need to starve. That's the dumbest thing I ever heard in my life. What is it? These guys that were protesting, cutting the trees down, they go and chain themselves to the bulldozer. Son, don't chain yourself to my bulldozer. Don't chain yourself to the tree that I'm cutting down. That's not going to be the right way to do it. You know, if you go get the cops and go do whatever you need to do and take care of all through legal processes and maybe we can do it that way. But so you're going to shoot. I am protesting the president, and I hereby shooting myself in the arm with a .22. Take that, President Trump. Dum-dee-dum-dee-dum-dum-dum. Which way did he go, Ralph? How dumb is that? Anyway. Yeah, copper at 22 short temples, yeah, that would be perfect. That would be perfect. People underestimate that 22 short, I'll guarantee you. When I was a kid, there was a butcher shop there in Farmington. I think he was my second cousin or something that had owned it and operated it. Me and my dad was over there all the time, you know, quite often. We'd taken our own animals in there, and we'd go over there and help him. I actually worked there when I was, 15 or 16, and I was bagging ice. You know, they didn't have machines that did that back then. You sat on your cold ass in the ice room there with a big scooper, and you scooped the bags full and tie them at the top and stack them up against the wall. And that was my job. But, I watched, I don't know about hundreds, but dozens of full-grown beef cows, and I don't know if I ever watched him do a pig with a .22 short or not, but I saw a lot of full-grown cows fall to a .22 short right there in town. I don't know if the city limits went out that far when I was a kid or not, but it was right where, most of you, Tebow might be the only one who remember where it is or where it was, and 22 short was at close range to kill them just as dead as a 30-06 will. They hit the ground so hard they make the, water splash or whatever. They just collapse right in their tracks. So. Anyway, I'm all about that, Copper. Take the warning labels off and let natural selection do its thing. Okay, well, I've had all the fun I can stand here, so I'm going to start easing towards the door here in just a second. Let me get things rolling here. We're having a communication class here in Vernon this next Saturday on the 22nd. And we've got enough people. We're actually starting to get people that are interested enough to get radios and kind of get involved. They're seeing after several emergencies that we've had, minor emergencies, mind you, the benefit of having the ability to reach your neighbor. Matter of fact, while I was gone, I was in Colorado on Sunday. Every Sunday we have a
what they call a net. It's kind of just a check-in, you know, make sure all your equipment's working and everything. And one of the what we did this week, I was gone, so I asked somebody else to do it for me, and I said, here's what I want you to do. Go ahead and call everybody, call roll through the repeater like we normally do. And then what we normally do, we go to the simplex side and get away from the repeater and go through the same thing again and kind of determine how far everybody can reach without the help of the repeater and what we need to do to relay information and whatnot. So I said, here's the deal. I got one of the guys that is the farthest on one side of our group of people, our membership. And I said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to call, what's-his-name across the street over there and have him call what's-his-name lives next door to him and have him call up here and talk to Amy and have Amy call over there and talk to this other guy and have him call the other guy. And eventually it's going to wind up over here at Old Man River's house. I said, ultimately what I want you to do is get this emergency message to Old Man River. Here, I just gave him a phone number, and I said, when that message gets over there, all I want him to do is call this number and leave a message saying that the exercise was a success and it's complete. And eventually they did get it done, run into a few little stumbling blocks here and there, but and we're going to get those ironed out. It'll be better next time. But they've got taken care of. And I think that was that's the whole purpose of having this emergency network that we have. It worked out really well. So Tebow, I don't know. No, that's not the one that I'm talking about. If you're talking about the butcher shop, no. This one was right where. Let's see. How could I explain it to you? It's right in behind where the Safeway is on the west side of town, and there's a little barber shop right there, a little bitty barber shop, and it's right on the road. It's Lake Street or Lake Avenue that goes down to the hospital. Right straight across the street from there is a little bitty barbershop. Well, that barbershop wasn't there then, but if you look right below that's another block building. That was my cousin's butcher shop there. And back in those days, that was that's what is now Safeway. That was a Piggly Wiggly way back in the day. So that's where that butcher shop was, right, literally right in town. So, okay, well, I've blabbered enough, so I think I'm going to quit blabbering, and I'm going to get on out of here, and we will see you guys Friday for Liberty Lounge. If we can get this to work, that is. There we go. It's working.
This has been The Shooting Bench with Cope Reynolds of Southwest Shooting Authority.